Good morning.
Good morning, Char.
Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Char. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Wow, the last day of the year. I can hardly believe it.
I know.
Yeah.
Has arrived. We probably had our coldest night yet, so a little bit cooler than.
Yeah, we're going to have that tonight.
Ah. It's just a day behind it, huh?
Yeah, it seems to be, yes.
Supposedly last night was the coldest night of 2014 here also. Was supposed to get down to about zero, so.
Oh, gee. I won't say a word about ours, because I think ours was supposed to be down to 20. Oh, mid-20s, I think it was. Looks like it's about 27 out there now.
I think we're only going up to 24 today.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, when it's that cold, you're not running around outside unless you really need to. At least that's the way I look at it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't go any further than is absolutely necessary when it's this cold. But, of course, it's going to get colder here before it gets any warmer, that's for sure.
We may or may not.
We really haven't had any snow so far either, so it's like you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. When is it going to hit? Oh, my.
I can understand that.
Right. Are you doing anything for New Year's Eve? Anything with the family or whatever?
We did last night, actually, or yesterday afternoon into the evening. We went to see a movie called Unbroken. It has just been released. Oh, my gosh.
That's the one that Angelina Jolie produced or directed or
right.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right. And the main character in real life passed away. Oh, I can't remember how. It's been a little bit ago, I know. But he was. What did I look at? 3 years shy of 100, so 97, well, depending on his birthday, right in the area of 97 years old. I mean, I don't know how he could have survived that long with the torture he went through. It was like, I think he was the longest ever survivor of, there were two of them. One died at sea, and when they thought they'd been found, they'd actually been found by the Japanese. It was during the war. And all they did was shoot them through, you know, from the airplane. They thought they were being rescued. And so they sent flares up. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just about the time you think something good's happening, it you know, flips the other way. But, oh, my goodness, was it good.
News I've heard around here are saying that it's a must-see.
Yes, that's for certain. It makes us really realize a number of things, at least it did. Well, I mean, we realize them anyway. Sometimes we just kind of step a little deeper, you know, as far as like giving it a whole lot of thought or time.
Right. Yes.
Even thought time, so. Anyway. That was with Vance and Stacy. That was part of our Christmas has arrived. That was to give us tickets for that. So we were there. Emmy, strangely enough, Emmy had read the book when it first came out, of I think 2 to 3 years ago. And so they also gave Denny the book, and he got right into it. He's read quite a bit of it already. But Stacy says everybody has to read the book before or after they've seen the movie, probably after, because
Linda Morse
has arrived.
Yes. And after you've seen the movie, it really, really brings it to life. It's the
wow.
way she felt about it. So you might watch for that one, too, at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I heard some other people join us. Anybody want to say good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Linda Morris from Lakewood. Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you, Linda. Same to you.
Thank you.
Yes, ditto.
Anybody have any thoughts or concerns for this morning? Anything you want to talk about? Well, yesterday I just...
has arrived.
Vegetarian Times book, magazine. And it's got so much in it, as usual, that...
has arrived.
So, I don't know where I want to begin. There was something I wanted to read, and so I have to grab that for a minute and see where I have it marked. There
good morning.
Are a lot of... Go ahead.
I just said good morning.
Good morning, Anita. How are you?
Okay.
Well, okay, that's good.
That is.
It does have an article in here that, on page 50 that says, New Year, New Leaf, Deliciously Easy Ways to Eat More Greens. So that was really interesting that it presented, some recipes that are, there's a lot of vegan recipes in here. As usual, it seems to be getting more and more as far as the plant, leaning towards plant-based. So there's the one recipe they have that's eggplant parmesan with cream spinach. I figure a lot of those I can use even if they're vegetarian and not plant, just plant-based, because the substitutions are pretty obvious for us in how we do our cooking after all these years. So that never holds me back in looking at them. They still can be adapted. So always a good
ditto. Ditto.
Yeah. But they have a potato salad with mustard greens that looked like it was real interesting, and sweet potato cornbread with collard confetti. So nice recipes. They aren't the article I was looking for. And I am determined I'll find. There's also an article in here. It's the one food five ways that we look at all the time, and it's on Asian pears. So I thought that was an interesting thing. I haven't done a whole lot with Asian pears. I know I like them. I've done them in salads. Some of these are just like poached, and I never thought about doing them poached like you would any other pear. So there's different ideas in there for that are really taking you in another little direction that you maybe hadn't thought about. But the article that I was looking at is called, and it's on page 70 when you get your magazine, it's called Attack of the Diet Saboteurs. And watching your waistline, don't fall into any of these sneaky traps. When pondering the dietary missteps that keep people from
achieving their health and weight loss goals, the usual suspects often come to mind: eating out too often, late night snacking, coffee and croissant breakfast. Yet recently, research has found some less obvious reasons for calorie overload. If you resolve to achieve better middle management in the new year, we'll show you some common behaviors that could be standing between you and your ideal weight and offer expert tips. A lot of these we've talked about many times before, but just recently, their number one point to be made here is fast and furious eating, and we have just talked about that within the past couple of weeks. And I think that it was brought out that it was also discussed on Dr. Oz about eating quickly and not enjoying what you're eating. So the article is, these days it's easy to dine and dash, but scarfers beware. Spending, feeding through meals and snacks could hinder your slim down efforts. A study published in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics in 2014 found that normal weight people who ate lunch in 9 minutes consumed an average of 88 more calories and felt less full 1 hour later than those who lingered over lunch for a full 22 minutes. When you shovel in your food, it's easy to stop to not pay attention, making it easy to overeat, says Lisa R. Young, Ph.D., R.D., adjunct professor of nutrition in New York University and author of the Portion Teller Plan. On the flip side, she says, pacing yourself gives your brain a chance to register satiety signals, so you're less likely to overeat during meals and snack needlessly between them. Since slowing down may help you slim down, implement habits that force you to eat at a more leisurely pace. Try taking smaller bites, putting down your utensils after each bite, and then thoroughly chewing your food, advises Young. British researchers discovered people who chewed each bite of a meal for at least 30 seconds consumed half as many candies 2 hours afterwards as those who chewed at a faster pace. Also, set yourself up to savor meals and snacks by enjoying them free of distractions such as the television or the stream of alerts on your smartphone. Make your dining environment more pleasant by softening the lighting and playing mellow music. And if all else fails, Young suggests breaking out the chopsticks, which will surely slow the pace. I thought that was kind of funny, and yes, it would slow my pace down an awful lot. I'm not too handy dandy with the chopsticks.
Me either.
So the number two list of things to think about is shopping while famished. Recent research at Cornell University found that people who grocery shopped on an empty stomach filled their carts with 45% more high-calorie foods, such as candy, than those who had a snack shortly before hitting the aisle. It's an evolutionary adaptation for our brains to tell us to seek out calorie-dense foods when we're hungry, says study co-author Anna Tau, PhD research associate at the Cornell Food and Brand Lab. By purchasing more snack foods, you could be setting yourself up for several days of higher calorie eating, he adds. Shopping hungry with coupons in hand could make matters worse. A study published in the journal Preventing Chronic Disease in 2014 discovered that 25% of grocery coupons are geared towards processed snack foods, candies, and desserts, with no more than 3% for fruits and vegetables. I don't know about you all, but I think that's a low number at 25%. When I look at the little magazine coupon things that come in the mail or in the newspaper, there's rarely anything I can use out of those.
Me too.
The coupons are not for real food. all process.
Yeah. I agree. There's really no reason to go through them unless you need a new checkbook or style or return return address to Kirk maybe or something like that.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I rarely go through them anymore. Every once in a while, I go through them just kind of hopefully. I did find over Christmas that they did have some coupons off. Like 75 cents or something like that for pomegranates that I use. That's
yeah.
the first found in a very long time that I could use.
Right, so pomegranates?
Do. Yes.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that before. Yeah, we get those too. But once in a while, I get a Dillon's, which is what our local Kroger store. And they send me coupons in the mail, and theirs sometimes have, like, I've got some now, it was like $2 off if you bought $10 worth of fresh produce or something like that.
Huh. Well, that's...
There is one that I got out of it within the last year, and it's still processed, but we would pick it up once in a great while, and that was... half pint, or was it a pint? Anyway, four servings of Soy Delicious ice cream, which I think is one of the best ones, made out of either coconut milk or part soy. And, you know, we would bend a little bit on that one because the ingredients aren't so bad, and it
right,
does have
yes.
a good flavor. But, you know, that's the exception to the rule. I've only seen it maybe twice that I can remember. And, you know, it's not worth my time to get the dollar off that I spend going through every newspaper that comes. Or
yes.
every weekly one.
Yeah, I do get emails with coupons from Whole Foods, though, that I use. Because, you know, they have things like the broth. The boxes of soup to use.
Right.
And just all different things that are really usable for me. So I do always try to go through those and print them out and take them with me when I go to the store.
They put in a great big Whole Foods Market in Wichita, and I have not been into that yet. We had three small ones who sold out to our local Green Acres in Wichita, and then this great big one came in, and we found out that this big one is, you know, from Whole Foods around the country. The others evidently had that name just as a local group anyway, so I haven't been into that one. I need to go see what all they've got. Way too much, probably, so...
Yes, way too much, and prices that are a little on the high side, to say the least, and the amazing thing is you still have to be very cautious about what you're picking up and looking at labels there as much as any place else.
Yeah, well, they've got a Natural Grocers down there, and then the Green Acres one. I really like that one, so.
Well, that's nice you have that much of a variety of good stores there.
Yeah,
well, awesome.
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes away, but that's not too far, so.
Right. Yes, I would do that for 30 minutes away. Absolutely. So on with the article, it says, to keep your basket full of healthful foods and more money in your wallet, Bonnie Taboo who Dix, RDN, a New York-based dietitian and author of Read It Before You Eat It, recommends having a snack that provides protein, fiber, and healthful fats shortly before getting behind the wheel of a shopping cart. This could be almond butter on whole grain crackers or a whole food-based bar like Kind, notes Dix, to also suggest sipping a calorie-free drink such as water or tea while shopping to help keep your hands occupied. Shopping with a detailed food list and a commitment to stick with it will also go a long way to keep impulse buys like candy bars out of your cart, she adds. And you know, it's just that phase of this article just says to me what Nancy tells us all the time. If you don't have it available in the house, don't bring it into the house. You won't have to deal with it. So I always have that in the back of my head when I go shopping, thanks to Nancy. And try to evaluate, yes, if it's going to be a problem when I bring it into the house, don't take it there. This also goes on to talk about cutting loose on the weekends, which I think is a little ridiculous, but I'll read it to you anyway and see if we can have some discussion as to how we feel about it. Too often we think a work week of clean eating entitles us to reach for the cookie jar more often over the weekend. But a study in the journal Obesity found that people who ramped up their calorie intake for 2 days, think Saturday and Sunday, failed to reduce their intake enough during the following 4 days to compensate for the extra calories. The net result, overall calorie gain. Further, those who stuffed themselves reported increased cravings and hunger and being in a worse mood on subsequent days. Repeat this pattern weekend after weekend, and you could see the needle on the scale moving to the right. For many people, allowing a small amount of dietary indulgence throughout the work week might be a better approach, says Young. Enjoying about 100 calories each day of a cheat food won't wreck your diet and can help keep you on track during the weekend, she explains. And don't beat yourself up for nibbling on a couple of cookies or dark chocolate squares. Research shows that feeling guilty after having a treat can lessen willpower in the face of additional dietary temptations. Also, meal planning is just as important on the weekends as it is during the work week to help you dodge poor meal and snack choices. What's your feelings on that? I don't know that adding 100 calories a day any more than getting crazy over the weekend to splurge on foods is any better. As far as I'm concerned, it wouldn't work for me. I don't know what I would want to spend those 100 calories per day on anyway.
I think I do that unconsciously, well, not totally unconsciously, but, you know, without giving any a thought. When I feel like I want something, I don't need to plan it in, because that's not the reason for me eating healthy, is to try and figure out how to get the, you know, the other thing, the splurges, because that's not the way my brain goes, is that I need to, you know, feed the things that just drive me. And that makes me think of the book that I took the other day that I picked out, and that was, Neil Bernard's, The Seduction of Food. And I think that's just feeding those thoughts in my way of thinking. Now, maybe I'm not right, but, I eat the way I eat for, the first reason is health, the second reason is I love the food. And there's always better things to take than something that you've had a habit of wanting. And so why intentionally go there? I'm with you on that. I think that's kind of what you're saying, isn't it, Betty?
Yes, it is, exactly. It's, you know, I don't want to think about
Well, in order to make this weekend go well, I should be, I have 100 calories each day to spend on something, whatever. If I feel that if I really want a piece of chocolate, and I don't have to have that every night as my splurge, but just every once in a while it crosses my mind, that would taste good to me right now, then that's fine. But I think when all these things become dominant in your head, it creates another whole set of problems, and you're fighting yourself constantly, mentally, with the food situation instead of just going along and doing what's good and healthy for your body, but also allowing yourself the liberty to have a taste of something whenever that desire is there.
You know, Betty, maybe I, part of my reason for the way I think is my whole beginning of being conscious of food was not to look good or any of that, or really to lose weight. It was my doctor telling me if I didn't care about my health, for my sake and my baby's sake when I was pregnant, then keep on eating the way I had. So that was my reversal idea for the need to do something about it was really all based on health. And so maybe that's why to this day, that's the embedded thought in my brain. Because I've said over and over when we first started, lifestyle, it was, not about losing weight. It was about being healthy, so you had a healthier life, a more enjoyable life, and we got past the medical maze, as Nancy says, in many cases. That doesn't mean you're not going to have an emergency or something like that, but it's strictly because of that. So why does the brain come into it at all, other than it's there and it's happening, but not something you want to give more time to or thought to in planning to try and do what I would call cheat?
Yeah, I guess that's where I'm coming from too, Char, because I didn't do this to lose weight either. That was, if it happened, it happened. If it didn't, but I needed to take care of what was wrong with my health.
That is the byproduct. Losing weight is the byproduct of eating healthy and having a healthier body. That is
right.
The byproduct. And if I've ever seen it happen, it's happened for me to the highest level that I could ever imagine. I could not imagine my body burning the way it burns now. Effectively, the food eliminates it very effectively. Reminds me when I eat too fast because I can tell my food isn't digested. You know, all of these signals and symptoms, and just seems to be, you know, to my knowledge, everything I see, it's working really great. I mean, I think I can consume double the amount of food I ever could when I was in my 20s and not have it show up. In fact, you know, I know it's not good to eat before you go to bed, as far as your sleep is concerned. I have absolutely no problem with that. Once I'm in bed and I go to sleep, I'm out and done for. But I never wake up with my stomach gurgling or any signs that anything's, you know, awry in what I've done. And I'll often have some, I'm not saying it's a good idea to do it. I don't focus on it. But if I'm hungry at night before I go to bed, guess what? I have something to eat. It is not necessarily anything that would look appetizing to somebody else. It can be just a piece of bread and butter. Well, if it's homemade bread, it's going to be bread and butter. But, you know, other than that, I might pull out a bowl of soup. I may get some, you know, seasoned millet or whatever. And it's what satisfies me and what I've gotten accustomed to, and I love the flavors of it. Much more so than I would something that is a sugary dessert. Now, chocolate can come into that. Yes, it can, just like what you said. But it all boils down to one thing. It's all between the ears And that's also included in the seduction of it, because once you break the habit and you really get ballistic about enjoying the foods and the, and I don't even want to cover up the bread with jelly. I don't want anything sweet on it. I want to taste the whole grain. Because to
yes.
me, they have flavor. I can taste the seasonings. I put Italian seasoning in that last batch of bread that I made. I can taste the flavors of it. I had two skinny pieces last night, one off of a rye bread that was really crusty and good that came from the Grange, and the other one was the one I made. And it was simply because I wanted to see which one I really liked the flavor of. Do I want to, you know, adapt and put some rye in my bread the next time? And I think the one that I had from the store maybe had a very slight sourdough fermented taste. And that's kind of intriguing me right now a little more because I don't have a fresh starter and I need to make a fresh starter, or I can dip into the one that I have from original. But anyway, you know, this is a thought pattern now compared to where I was when I was going out and sitting in drive-ins and eating, what was it, buns with gravy on it, white bread buns with gravy on it. Does that sound appealing to me? Oh, my gosh, it makes me gay.
Yeah.
You know, so
you're absolutely right on. It's the thought process. We're past that stage that I don't think a lot about food at this point anymore either, because I can eat I can be happy with just having like celery and carrots and hummus. And that can be kind of a meal for me if I'm pushed and running or whatever is going on in my life at that point.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and nothing else comes into my head. You know, it's not like all the other things that are laden with sugar or whatever. That isn't what enters my head anymore.
Well, you know, when you say that combination of veggies and hummus, that is a real frequent starter for my meal if I've got that already in the refrigerator, which I normally always have hummus in the refrigerator. To start the meal, especially if I'm late, it would be a salad replacement for
right.
both Jenny and I with just the fresh vegetables, then maybe followed with soup and that's it. And depending on what's in the soup, you don't even need anything else. You might want something else that you can take into it, like a slice of really good whole grain bread or a side dish of millet or a little bit of brown rice or something like that. If there's not much starch in it, you might add that, but you've already had some hummus, which has part of the starch also with the beans. So, you know, planning is almost a no-brainer once you get familiar with what you're using for replacement for the things that I don't want to put in my body anymore, which is the animal. Why would I want to when I ended up with major blockage? You know, it doesn't make sense. Does it call me? No, it doesn't call me at all. We went out with Vance and Stacy last night. We had Mexican food. I had a little bit of wheat in a burrito shell. We split it. It was huge. It was stacked with fresh vegetables. I've never seen a burrito with so many fresh vegetables on the outside. Still crisp in a little bit of a sauce. And filled with beans and rice. I didn't even eat a fourth of it. We brought one whole serving home that we can split again. We split the first one, one burrito between us. And you know what? I had probably, I'm going to say, maybe 4 or 5 chips sticks in salsa. That didn't even seem like anything I had to keep crunching on. And it was for the crunch more than anything else and the flavor of the spicy salsa. But your brain just kicks in at some point if you keep feeding it in a good way, and your taste buds, mine did, and I've seen literally hundreds of other people over the years since I started doing this that will say the same thing. Your taste buds just change. You don't have to worry about it changing. You don't have to worry about the weight coming off. It just automatically does. Focus on the real reason, and that's what your quality of life is going to be for the rest of your life. At least the chances of it being there are so much greater in anything that we're going to be faced with. To me, that's enough reason. And that's why, you know, if I'm going to be negative on something that Oz does, the only thing is that I'm going to be negative on overall is the fact that he's got so many different diet plans. But I can't really be negative because his goal is to at least get people to do something. Just something. As Nancy puts it over and over, you know, start someplace. Do something. And something's better than nothing because maybe it will just start to click with you and you'll see the bigger picture and you can get, well, it's going to happen anyway. It's going to be better for you. But to me, the big picture is just accomplishing the fact that you know you need to feed your body in the right way. Period. That's it. Forget how all the other things and focus on one thing, and that's just a better quality of life. And I believe God gave us that with the guidelines that are, you know, right there in the Bible. I don't care what time of the world he wrote it in or gave it. It doesn't matter. You can start at Genesis, the end of the first book in the Bible. Vance pointed that out to me it's been 2 or 3 years ago now, I'm sure. But he said, Mom, I stumbled onto this. It's right there in the very first chapter of the Bible. Now, put the veggies in. Put what God created on the earth for us to eat. And, you know, we're a long way there. We've just made it more complicated is all. But, you know, so what? If you want to put a few things together to call it a recipe? Oh, well. Sorry, I didn't mean to take so much of your time, Betty.
No. Important stuff, I think, for all of us to discuss and talk about in what we're doing. So, yeah. Anybody else have anything you want to toss out there at this point? We're getting a little over time at this stage of the game. Anybody doing any interesting for their New Year's Day foods? Anything that's a tradition with your family?
No.
No,
Mom used to make New Year's cookies, but that's after the kids grew up, we didn't do that either, so.
Yeah. Well, I have to make a little trip out to Whole Foods today and get some sauerkraut, that's all we need.
Thanks, Betty.
Pardon me?
I just said thanks. It was buzzing really
bad. You're very welcome. Everybody have a wonderful new year. Enjoy yourselves and stay with the whole food, plant-based for our good health. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for the reinforcement.
Have a wonderful good evening.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye now.